Well, this morning we carry on in our study of the Bible, starting at Genesis and working through, and we come this morning to Genesis chapter 37. We have quite a number of different passages in Genesis to look at this morning, and we are looking at the life of Joseph. Joseph's life, I'm sure that you could preach many, many sermons on. I hope I'm not biting off more than I can chew or more than our seats can endure this morning, and just giving an overview of his life. This study is not meant to be necessarily a verse-by-verse study, just bringing out some of the highlights of the Old Testament. And so this morning we look at some of the highlights of Joseph's life. Few would argue that Joseph's life is one to emulate, one to pattern our life after in many ways. It's said that Joseph is one of only a few in Scripture whose life is covered fairly extensively, of whom nothing is mentioned as far as sin. We don't read of a particular sin that Joseph did. As we know David, the man after God's own heart, great man of God, but we see shortfalls in his life and times when he failed and sinned. Now, we're not saying that Joseph did not sin. We're just saying that God gives us a very positive view of his life, and he wants us to learn from Joseph's life. All of us sin, so we're not trying to say in any way that Joseph did not sin. But his life shows the strength of determination to accomplish God's will. His life is that which typifies the reality that those who humble themselves will be exalted, because God has promised that in his word. His life shows the triumph of forgiveness towards the most undeserving. Though we may admire many of Joseph's strength, I'm sure most of us would say, I like what Joseph accomplished. I like my life to be patterned after the things that he did, but I don't want to have to go through the things that Joseph went through. Because Joseph's life was a very difficult life. We don't look at Joseph's life and say his life was all roses and all peaches and cream. We look at Joseph's life and say he had many valleys, deep valleys, of difficult times in his life. But we learn from Joseph's life that he can have faith, and we can have faith in God as he had faith in God and God's plan. See, Joseph's life was built on his confidence that God was at work and that God had a plan for his life. Though Romans 8:28 was some 2,000 years ahead of Joseph's life, Joseph's life, we would say Romans 8:28 is very appropriate for his life, because Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Sometimes we think of faith as being our fire escape. Our faith in God is what gives us eternal life. And yes, that is true. Our faith in salvation in Jesus Christ is that which assures of eternal life because of what Jesus has done for us. And God says that salvation is a gift to be received by faith. But our faith doesn't begin at salvation and then skip over our life and then go into eternity. Our faith is to be lived out day in and day out. And so Joseph's life is a very clear testimony and a very clear picture of that. And so looking at Joseph's life this morning, I'd like to preach a message that I've entitled, A Life of Faith. We'll begin in Genesis chapter 37 and to read the first 17 verses of the chapter this morning. So follow along with me if you would. The Bible says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought to his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence. For I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful this morning for your word, and we thank you for the life of Joseph, whose life you've recorded that we may learn from it. Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts through your word this morning and through the life of Joseph. So when we leave here, we will be determined to, as Joseph did, live a life of faith. And that would impact in the areas of our lives as it did with Joseph. So Lord, bless this time together around your word, we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, this morning, that a life of faith has character. We're talking about a life of faith. And I want us to see this morning to begin, a life of faith has character. We read the first 17 verses of the chapter, and we see very evidently Joseph's faith and Joseph's life. We don't know at what point Joseph came to trust the Lord and to know the Lord. Last couple of weeks ago, we talked about when Jacob met the Lord. We don't have a recording of when Joseph specifically met the Lord, but it must have been as a youth or perhaps a young boy. I wonder, perhaps, was it Bethel when he was a very young boy and his father led them back to Bethel and said, Get rid of the false gods and let's worship the Lord and him only. But whatever it was, we see that Joseph had faith in God and his life was impacted by that faith to bring character to Joseph's life. You see, we read in verses 1 and 2 how Joseph reported on his brothers. He brought an evil report to his father about his brothers. He's 17 years old. He is with those who are considerably older than him, because if you remember the story about Joseph's birth, he came along quite late in the picture, because Jacob worked for Rachel, Joseph's mother, from Laban, and Laban deceived Joseph and gave him Leah to wife. And then there were children born, and there were maids, and we already said that was wrong. That wasn't what God had in mind. That wasn't God's plan. Marriage is between a man and a woman for life. That's God's plan, and that's what God says right from the beginning. We talked about that some weeks ago. But we see that Jacob didn't follow that, but in the course of that, we realize that Joseph had many older siblings who were half-siblings, I guess you would say. But they were considerably older, because it was a long time before Rachel bore Joseph, and then after that, Benjamin. But we see here that Joseph is reporting on his older brothers. That wasn't a good report. They say, why do you say that's a good thing? Why do you say that Joseph has character for doing that? Well, listen, I don't think that Joseph was being a tattletale. I don't think he was going back to Jacob. Dad, you'll never guess. You know what they're doing? They're doing this. I think you should know. I don't think that was the tone. I believe that what Joseph was doing here was saying, Dad, I can't believe what my brothers are doing. This is not right. Dad, you need to know this. I'm concerned about what they're doing, and I think you should know. You see, he wanted his father to know what his brothers were up to. You think that was easy? No, he's 17 years old. He's not at an age where, you know, sometimes young children tattletale and so on. But by the time you get to a teenager, you realize, this doesn't get me very far. It's going to get me in trouble. I'm just going to get, you know, beat up by my older siblings here for this in one way or the other. But he did it because he felt that it was right, because he had character. And realize this, he obeyed his father in the face of knowing rejection by his brothers. We read the fact that his brothers hated him. He reported on them. His father loved Joseph more. You know, I mean, these things were things that aggravated Joseph's brothers. But when Jacob said, "Son, I want you to go check on your brothers," he didn't say, "Oh, no, Dad. Dad, you know how much they hate me? Dad, this is not going to turn out well for me if I go check out on them. Like, if you're not around and I'm with them, things are not going to go well." No, there's no identification with that here at all. Matter of fact, when Jacob said, "Joseph, I want you to go," he said, "Here am I. Lord, I'll go. I'll go and do what you want me to do. Not Lord, but Father, I'll go and do what you would have me to do." And then when he's sent out, he goes to where his dad told him to go. He said they'll be in Shechem with the flocks. Joseph goes to Shechem. They're not there. Now, if you were a little reluctant to do something, what would you do? "Oh, they're not here. Oh, well. Hey, Dad, I went. I couldn't find them. They weren't there. I guess they're off in trouble again." But no, what did Joseph do? Joseph asked somebody, "Look, I'm looking for my brothers. I don't know where. Do you think you know where they might be?" "Oh, yeah, they went off to Dothan." "Oh, okay. I'll go find them there then. Because Dad sent me to go to them, and I want to go because I want to do what my father has told me to do." See, here's character in this young man, Joseph. His character came from his faith in God. He was committed to do as he had been told to do in honor of his father. You know, faith in a holy, righteous God brings character to our life. There's a lot of people that lack character today, and I tell you, one of the reasons is that there's no fear of God in their life. We need to have character in our lives, and that character comes in part from a realization of who God is and a desire to honor Him with our life. You realize that in society that character has diminished as God's place in society has been pushed away. I don't think there's no coincidence about that. Joseph's life brought character because his life was a life of faith. Is your faith bringing character to your life? We realize that faith not only has character, but it also has vision. We read in verses 5 to 11 how God gave Joseph in an unusual way a glimpse of his future. Now realize that was important in the life of Joseph because of what the valleys that Joseph was going to go through, that God gave him a picture of something that was going to take place some ways down the road. He gave him dreams, and those dreams were a reality of what God would one day do with his life. And may I say to you this morning that a life of faith has vision. Joseph's brothers were jealous of his dreams. They didn't like the possibility. They understood that these dreams had an implication that Joseph one day was going to be over them. They didn't like that. They were jealous of that fact. His own father didn't understand that, but you notice his father said, "I'm going to make note of this. There's something about this." And though he sort of chastised Joseph a little bit for his dreams, "What are these dreams you're dreaming, Joseph?" "Well, I don't know about you, but I can't really control the dreams that I dream." I don't know how he expected Joseph to say, "Well, I'm not going to dream that anymore." Obviously, this was a unique situation. It was God that put this in his heart and in his mind. But his father didn't understand. His brothers were jealous. But Joseph's faith in God was that which God used to reveal his plans for Joseph's life so that Joseph would have something to cling to when things weren't going well. You know, as believers in the Lord, God gives direction and purpose for our life. He gives us something that gives us vision. He gives us something that gives us knowledge of the future, His Word, and we understand it, we know it. He leads us and guides us personally. He's given us the Word of God that gives us the scope of the prophetic nature of life. And we say, I know with the back of the book, I know that God is with me in my life. God has given me direction, He's given me wisdom, and He's given me opportunity to serve Him and to follow Him. How does that come? That comes by a life of faith. Trusting God to fulfill His plan. We have every reason to be filled with hope today, even when things are falling apart in our world, and perhaps things may fall apart in our life personally. But if we trust in God and have faith in God, we have every reason to have faith that God still has His hand in it in our life, and he has a plan for us. We know that he's given us the blessed hope. He said, look for that blessed hope. It's the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. That was in fulfillment of what Jesus told the disciples. Where I am, there ye may be also. So if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's given us work to do today as we wait for his return. He says we need to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He knows that he cares for the lost, and he's given us the job of reaching the world. See, we have all kinds of things to do because God has given us his plans. He's told us what he wants us to be involved in. A life of faith has vision. It has hope for the future. But a life of faith has restraint. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. You know the story. And I realize we're going through these things quickly this morning. And I hope that God will grip your heart for some of these things and perhaps some areas of our life where we've been lacking. That God will use these things to stir our hearts together this morning. But Genesis chapter 39 is a different chapter in the life of Joseph. We know that between chapter 37 and chapter 39, his brothers determined to kill him, first of all. They were going to just end his life because they were so jealous of him. They hated him so much. But somebody had an idea and said, you know, we could make some money off Joseph. Why just lose a brother when we can only lose a brother we can gain some money to? And so they decided that they were going to sell him when they saw some Midianites coming along who were known to buy slaves. They said, we could sell our brother as a slave. He's 17, he's of prime age, he could get us some money. And so they sold him into slavery. Those Midianites were going down to Egypt and they sold Joseph to Potiphar. That's where we pick up the story in Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly man and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Realize that Joseph faced great temptation. And here his character is revealed again, and also his moral restraint. He was sold into slavery, as we mentioned already, sold to the Midianites. At this point, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Your brothers hate you. Your father thinks you are dead. And you're in a strange land, far away from the faith that you were raised with, and far away from anything. And what would you think of a God who would let you be sold by your brothers as a slave? You could be in a very disillusioned state by the time you get to this part of Joseph's life. He could have been very disillusioned about God and life in general. He could have been a very bitter young man. I have no doubt that his treatment to this point had been harsh. I don't think that when Potiphar first bought Joseph, he was treated probably very well. He was a slave, after all, bought for money. His brothers, again, hated him enough to kill him and probably thought that he was dead. or very close to it. With all that he was facing, Joseph could have given up on his faith and morality, but clearly that wasn't the case. Joseph's life was a continued testimony of what God was doing in his life as he was sold into slavery here. You realize no matter what life throws at you, do not lose sight of God and what God is doing in your life and what he desires for you. Realize that Joseph received promotion. For a small moment here, it seems that Joseph's life is turning around for the better. Going from being a mere slave, hated by his brothers, and then a slave, to being the head of Potiphar's house. And evidently Potiphar, being an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard, probably quite a well-known and well-respected person. And Joseph is in charge of everything. He has control over everything in the house. You realize what Joseph said? The only thing Potiphar knows is the food that he gets every day. Everything else, I'm the one that has all the details about it, Joseph said. You know, promotion can often go to our heads. Hey, look at me. Look at me now. Look at me, Joseph said. Look, there's none greater in this house than me. I'm in charge. Joseph could have said, I can do what I want because I'm in charge of this house. He could have let pride get the better of him. He could have said, you know what, I deserve to just go with whatever I desire to do. Even in this position of power, though, he retained his integrity and his faith because he was very much tempted here. He's described as being a goodly and well-favored young man. That means he was well-liked. People liked him. Well-favored means he was well-liked. Goodly has a thought of his appearance. He was a handsome young man. So he has a position of power. He's well-liked by everybody, and he's good-looking. Sounds like the dream. Dream situation to be in. Evidently, Potiphar's wife noticed those things, and she said, hey, Joseph, you know, my husband's away, and you're a handsome young man. Why don't you come, and we'll just have some time together, some intimate time. That would have been very flattering to a young man who had much of his life been very rejected, wouldn't it? That temptation would have been very strong towards him, especially because it said day after day, she said, hey, Joseph, come on. You know, some might have justified their actions. After all, she was, in effect, his boss. And you know, whatever the boss wants, right? And he's in charge of everything else, and didn't he deserve a little reward on the side? Was his boss really treating him well enough, and maybe he could, you know, just enjoy some pleasure? But what did he do? What did he do to say no? He says, I can't do it because, why? Because your husband has kept you from me, and number one, and number two, and probably the primary reason that governed everything of his life, he says at the end of verse 9, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Faith is what kept him from temptation in his life. Faith is what brought about Joseph's restraint. Recognizing it would be a betrayal of trust to his master, but more than that, it would be a betrayal of his faith to God. He said, no, I cannot and I will not. You know, he used the very reasons that some would have used to justify it. But he used them to forbid it. My master doesn't know anything. Some people said, my master doesn't know anything. I can get away with this. He said, my master has trusted me so much, I will not overstep what is right. And somebody would have said, hey, your God and your faith, you left them back there. Your God has let you get sold into slavery here. But Joseph said, no, my God is my God. And I will not deny my God, and I will not do wrong in his sight. He said, it's wicked and sinful in God's eyes. His faith kept him true and pure. Rather than be upset with God and rebelliously disobey God, he chose to act in faith. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I think that's exactly what happened here. By the fear of the Lord, Joseph said, no, I will not do it. I fear God. We live in a world where restraint is almost unknown. We are told today, just do whatever you want, whenever you want, as long as nobody gets hurt and everyone's in agreement, it doesn't really matter. Joseph said, no, I will not follow, I will not prescribe to that, because my God has a moral code and I will not overstep that. My faith will not allow me to do that. Morality means little in our world today, but Christian, our faith needs to bring restraint into our life and bring moral restraint into our life. This is what we need to live out our faith day by day, like Joseph. We see his example here of his restraint. All the moral problems in our world today, if we just get back to God and fear God and obey God, we would say, no, I cannot do those things because it's wrong in the sight of God. Morality matters to God, and if it matters to Him, it should matter to us as well. We need to let our faith in God rule our lives to control our passions and desires. If Joseph, who was far from home, where he had been sold by his family, could restrain himself in the face of temptation, given an opportunity that probably nobody would know about, we can too. Christians, more of us need to ask the question, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Live out our faith. But life of faith has patience. Life of faith has patience. Turn with me to chapter 41. And we've looked at this a fair bit over this last little while. But think of the patience of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 41, verses 37 to 46, here we see Joseph's patience displayed to us. It says in verse 37, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Of course, we're breaking into the story here. But it says, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be ruler over my house, according unto thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. And he arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. How much time has gone by here? How much water has gone under the bridge, as we might say? Can you imagine how patient Joseph has been throughout this time? For nearly half of his life, he couldn't seem to catch a lasting break. Because although he did right in Genesis 39, we didn't have time to read the story, Potiphar's wife lied about him, and where did he end up? Back at the bottom of the pile again, in prison. Just when things seem to be going well and he did the right thing and he ends up in prison. But in prison, God watched over him again, gave him favor, and he had opportunities in prison to do what was right. But for the last 13 years of his life, those dreams must have seemed to be coming and then boom, they're shattered. And then they're coming and then boom, they're shattered again. Sold as a slave, lied about his master's, by his master's wife, in prison when he was doing what was right, forgotten by the butler who had promised to tell Pharaoh about him. But when he's brought out of the prison, what's the first thing Pharaoh says about him? This guy, the Spirit of God is in him. Wow. What an attitude he must have displayed for the Pharaoh, that pagan king, to say, the Spirit of God is in this young man. He's a wise young man. I'm going to make him ruler. He's just been in the prison, and now he becomes second in command over all of Egypt, the ruling nation of the world. Doesn't it give you a glimpse of how Joseph's patience was just an overruling factor in his life. He just said, I'm just going to keep trusting God. I'm just going to keep trusting God. I don't understand why this is all keeps going south on me. I don't understand why everything keeps going wrong when I'm trying to do what's right. But I trust God. God gave me that vision long ago. And I'm going to trust Him to fulfill what He has promised that He would do, however that takes shape in my life. How many times do we grow weary in our lives and lose heart or lose faith in what God is doing? We flounder and complain. God doesn't care. God's forgotten about me. What's going on with my life? I don't understand it. Like Elijah, we sit under the juniper tree and say, God, you may as well just kill me now, because what use is my life? And we get discouraged by the downtimes in our life. But we got to look back and we got to think about Joseph, and we got to say, Joseph, what an example you are to us of how God can give you patience in your life when you trust Him and let faith rule your life. You know, God's not bound by our timetable. God doesn't have to do things the way we think in our schedule and the way we think it should pan out. I don't think Joseph, when he saw that, when God gave him the vision of those sheaves bound down, I don't think he had any inclination whatsoever how terrible his life was going to get. He probably thought, wow, this sounds good. I wonder how this is going to work out. I guess probably Dad's going to give me a position of leadership in the family because he likes me so much. And then I'm going to, you know, get to this and this. It's going to lead and I'm going to, you know, progress. But no, that's not exactly what happened. It's far from what happened. But he had patience because his faith was in God. God's plans don't end when there's conflict. God's plans don't end when there's controversy. God's plans don't end when things go contrary to the way we think they should. In Hebrews 6:15, it says of Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he received the promise. Patiently endured. Endured. Endured that time of wait, 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 wait. And so we are reminded in Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Isn't that what Joseph did? He did the will of God. He did the right thing. He obeyed his father. He wasn't asking for dreams. God gave him that vision, but his faith just dictated his life, and he kept on doing what was right, and he had patience. May God help us to be like Joseph. A life of faith has character, it has vision, it has restraint, it has patience. But look at chapter 50 and we'll see the life of faith has forgiveness. It may be that this is the most difficult of all to understand of how Joseph could have had. But Genesis chapter 50, we read in verse 15, as Joseph's father has died and now his brothers are there. It says in verse 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. And the children of also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and will bring you out of this land unto the land which you swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. What a powerful passage of Scripture that records the end of Joseph's life to us. What made the difference between Joseph and his brothers? Faith. A life of faith. You realize for about 39 years after they sold Joseph into slavery, Joseph's brothers lived with guilt. They never seemed to confess their sin to Joseph. They try to hide it and just try to ignore it. But, you know, every time something bad happened in their life, what did they do? Oh, no, it's because we did what we did to Joseph. I told you we shouldn't have done this. Right? Isn't that what happened when they went to get corn and Joseph treated them roughly by voice and they were like, oh, no, see, this is because we were bad to Joseph. When they found the money on the way back, oh, no, this is because we did this to Joseph. Now here, these things are going to take place, and now Dad's died, and now Lord Joseph's going to get after us. Joseph's going to do something. Joseph's going to take his revenge on us now. They'd lived in Egypt for 17 years. They'd seen him take care of them. But as soon as their father died, oh no, Joseph's going to do something to us now. They feared that Joseph would take revenge on them. They'd never apologized for what they had done, and they make up this story. Hey, Joseph, you know, Dad said before he died that you need to forgive your brothers. Joseph might well have said, listen, guys, I let go of that a long time ago. Long before Dad died, I already had forgiven you. You know, that was a horrendous thing, what they had done to him, to sell him as a slave. How could you do that to your brother? But they did. Maybe expecting that he would die or that he would just be taken far away out of their life. Can you imagine what they did to their father? They knew how much their father loved Joseph, and they basically took a piece of his heart away. It was a horrendous thing that they did. They hated him. They thought to kill him initially. They didn't deserve to be forgiven, did they? We'd say they don't deserve it. They didn't even ask for it. Until maybe here, this is sort of a backhanded asking for forgiveness, because they kind of said, Dad said you need to forgive us, so you need to forgive us, okay? But Joseph had forgiven them long ago, and he told them way back in chapter 45. He told them, he said, listen, you meant this evil to me, but God brought me here to preserve life, and I've let go of that long ago. You know, if Joseph hadn't forgiven them and let go of it, for those 39 years, he would have been living in bitterness. His heart would have been hard. He couldn't have been used of the Lord the way he was used of the Lord. He wouldn't have been in a place to respond to the things that he did the way he did, because that bitterness would have built up over all that time. But he'd let it go. Why? How could he do that? Because he had faith that somehow God would use that in his life to do something greater than he could imagine. He didn't condone what they did. He said, you meant it unto me to evil. I know you hated me. I know you did this because you didn't like me and because you had bad intentions, but God turned it around. And I can see what God's done, so how can I be upset with you? He forgave them of their intent, recognizing God's overruling plan. His forgiveness was not based on their confession, but on his recognition of God's plan. It was based on his faith in God. You know, granting forgiveness may be one of the most difficult things we do in life. How can we forgive? What, in this case, was unthinkable. Our faith in God goes beyond and says, I trust God. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See, how do I forgive? By faith. By faith. Hebrews 12:15 tells us to take heed lest the root of bitterness spring up, trouble us. See, the alternative to forgiveness is bitterness. And that bitterness one day will spring up and trouble us if we don't deal with it. We've been forgiven. That took faith. We trusted in the Lord to forgive us of our sins, and we can forgive by faith as well. As we look at the life of Joseph, we see a life of faith. What did that faith result in? It resulted in character. It resulted in vision. It resulted in restraint, patience, and forgiveness. See, faith in God is not just for our salvation and for eternity. It's to be lived out day in and day out. And Joseph's life teaches us that. But the question I ask you this morning is, are you living a life of faith? Let's pray together.